Welcome into this week's edition of the State of the Program. My name is Jerry Hamilton. That is CJ Vogel. We're going to take a break from the Texas team coverage this week. The kids are on vacation. They're at home after the spring semester ended. So we're going to take a little vacation with them. And when they get back to working out, we'll start breaking down more of the team stuff. And we'll talk about team next week as well. But this week, what I wanted to focus on with CJ is the Action Network, via the Action Network, the wins totals, over-under totals for SEC teams has come out. And this is Vegas talking. This is not just opinions. So CJ and I wanted to take a few minutes and talk about each of these teams, take a look at Texas' first season in the SEC, their schedule, how favorable that schedule may actually be versus some other teams, and take a look at some of these other teams in the SEC and their schedule. Before we get to that, I want to take a second, though, for our sponsor of the State of the Program. That is Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. Adam Lowy specializes in results for all his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. He's the man to call. Call Adam today at 512-280-0800 or reach him online at lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation. And remember, Adam focuses on results and he gets results. Thank you very much to Adam Lowy, a Lowy Law Firm, for being the sponsor of the State of the Program. All right, CJ, the wins over under win totals came out. This is right up your alley. I know you love it for the 24 season. And this is from the Action Network, via the Action Network. Georgia, 10.5. I'm just going to read through these real quick, then we'll get into them. Georgia, 10.5. Texas, 10.5. Alabama, 9.5. LSU, whoa, 9.5. Missouri, 9.5. Ole Miss, 9.5. Tennessee, 9.5. Pretty good conference. A&M, 8.5. Auburn, 7.5. Oklahoma, 7.5. Kentucky, 6.5. Always undervalued. Arkansas, 5.5, probably good bet under. Florida, 5.5, worst schedule of all time. South Carolina, 5.5. Marcus Lattimore's not walking through that door. Mississippi State, 4.5. That's probably, I might take the under on that. Their schedule's brutal. And then Vanderbilt at 2.5. Surely you go over that. All right, CJ, let's start with Georgia and Texas, the two at 10.5. Let's start with Texas, obviously, right? Coming off 12-2. 10.5, I've kind of set my schedule, my record at 10-2 this year. So I guess I'm technically on the under, but I'm guessing you're going with 12-0.
Yeah, well, of course, Jerry. What else would we do it on Texas football than pump the sunshines and rainbows, you know? But, no, I mean, it does. This schedule is very favorable for Texas. You know, you look at that bottom two or those two right columns.
Exactly.
Texas plays six of them. Eight teams, you know, and the one team that Texas has in that elite category on the far left is Georgia, who they have at home. So I do think it's very favorable. Of course, Michigan's going to be a tough road game week two. The defending national championship, they're always going to pose a threat, right? That's always going to be the case. But you start diving into this SEC schedule and, yeah, playing Kentucky, Arkansas, you know, Florida later in the season, Mississippi State to begin, and, of course, Vanderbilt as one of your three true road games this year, that's very favorable for Texas. And so I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to go 11-1. I think you're catching Michigan at a great opportunity, very similarly to Alabama a year ago where they're still trying to figure in things out. They're a good football team. They're going to have talent. But, again, it's not the Michigan that just won the national championship. They have a brand-new coach, brand-new quarterback, and they have to replace a whole slew of talent on both sides of the football right now. So I think it's a good opportunity to go 11-1. I think, you know, if you start with a win against Michigan, all bets are off the table, and you really, really control your own destiny there.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think, like last year, when Texas won at Alabama, it kind of raised the stakes a lot. And those over-under win totals, you took a look at them a little different. And I think that's 100% the case this year at Michigan. If Texas goes into Ann Arbor and wins, one, the hype machine's going to really get rolling after beating Bama last year and going to the playoff. But two, I think it sets, as far as what we're talking about here, the 10.5 win total, the over comes into play if Texas wins at Michigan. Because I agree, Texas has a favorable SEC schedule. The funny thing is, when the initial schedule was released, everybody's like, it's the opposite of signing out. Signing out, everybody loves their class. When the schedule comes out, you're like, oh my gosh, this is tough. Well, Florida hadn't really turned the corner, right? I mean, that took one away. That doesn't mean Florida isn't a good team, but they didn't really turn the corner last year. So that schedule looks different. Mississippi State, obviously coaching change. Look at all the quarterbacks lost and having to be replaced on Texas schedule. So when the schedule first came out, it looked more difficult than it does today. Georgia's interesting because they have Clemson at home in Atlanta. That's a home game to start the season. So technically neutral, but that's not neutral. Georgia will beat Clemson. But then they have a tougher schedule than they have in years past. 10.5, I think, is an interesting number because you go to Alabama, to Ole Miss, and to Texas. And that's just not three road games against good teams. That's three road games against returning quarterbacks, three of the top quarterbacks in college football in Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart, and Quinn Ewers. So you're on the road against those guys. Oh, and by the way, the guys calling plays, Kalen DeBoer, Lane Kiffin, and Steve Sarkisian. Yep. Georgia's going to drop a game. Literally, if Georgia goes 12-0 on this schedule, I mean, you just tip of the duck cap and move on. But they're not. They're going to drop a game this year. That is three tough road games against teams who are going to be able to score the football, great play callers, experienced quarterbacks, a lot of talent on those teams. So Georgia's going to drop a game. But, CJ, I'm going to put you on the spot here, the 10.5, though. If they go 11-1 on this schedule, that is uber impressive.
Yeah, and I think they're going to do it still. And I think that's the case of having a third-year starting quarterback, Carson Beck, who's in that conversation for being the best in the college football world at the moment, of course. And we know how Georgia's recruited as of late. You know, that defense isn't going to disappear anytime soon. They found new playmakers. They've gone out to the portal. They've added some guys. I'm a big fan of London Humphreys, the wide receiver out of Vanderbilt. Trevor Etienne as well, coming in from Florida. You're looking at what looks like a pretty impressive wide receiving course and you know, offensive weapons around what should be a very talented quarterback in Carson Beck again. But I did have that on my schedule. You know, their road schedule, not easy. Georgia, no. Alabama, Ole Miss, and Kentucky. Kentucky's going to get up for that game. And you mentioned it earlier, 6.5 is their win total at the moment. Always undervalued with Kentucky. Yeah. They've gone out and added some really important and impressive pieces in their trenches. They've got a wide receiver too with Jamori Macklin as well. I like what they've done if they can figure out that quarterback spot. And right now, that's the biggest question mark for Kentucky. But I do think this is a much tougher schedule than what Georgia's used to. Of course, you know, we've seen Georgia play some really cupcake looking schedules this last year specifically. But that week one game against Clemson, to me, will set the tone for what kind of team Georgia will be. I do think Georgia wins that game by how much. That's the indication in which I'll look at and say, oh, yeah, Georgia's going to be just fine for the rest of their schedule, or maybe you'll see them slip up against a Kiffin, a Sarkisian, or a DeBoer moving on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that we're going to hit on a few of the teams here not on Texas schedule real quick, just so we cover them. Kalen DeBoer's first year at Alabama, tough schedule, in my opinion. Georgia comes to Tuscaloosa. You're at Tennessee. You have Missouri at home, at LSU, at OU, and then Auburn, even though it's at home. Everybody knows how that rivalry game goes. So Alabama, Kalen DeBoer's first year schedule as the coach of Bama, pretty difficult. Now, they're still talented. They're still one of the top 6, 7, 8 most talented programs in the country. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Maybe still top 5. But that's a tough schedule in year one through a transition with a new coach. The expectations haven't changed at Alabama, but the reality may be a little different in this season. So that schedule to me, CJ, will be dependent on Jalen Milroe. If Jalen Milroe takes a big step in year two as a starter and Kalen DeBoer can bring out enough of his passing playbook in that scheme and that passing tree with Jalen Milroe, I think Alabama may excel in this schedule because I'm not sure. The one team that when you look at it at 9.5, I'm not buying is LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I think they lost a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. They lost 2 first-round receivers, then maybe 3 if the guy hadn't been betting on everything. Now, everybody says LSU's going to have the best offensive line back in college football, but they had three D-line losses to the NFL draft, new D coordinator, a lot of change on the staff. LSU on paper appears to be really tough. I'm not sure this is going to – I might take the under on their 9.5. Missouri, CJ, let's hit on Missouri real quick. Missouri may have the best SEC schedule for a team that could – them or Ole Miss, two teams that you look at, could find their way into a playoff at 10-2, partly due to having returning quarterbacks, really good offensive coaches, but then having a favorable schedule. Missouri at A&M, Auburn at home, at Bama, OU at home. Then you're at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, Arkansas. That's a doable schedule if you're Missouri. That's
a very favorable schedule.
Now, and so talk about Missouri now, and now talk about them like this with this caveat, though. They aren't sneaking up on anybody anymore, and they now have expectations. They're a different place than they were a year ago.
Yeah, they sure are. And I think last year was that first year where you could look at them and say, oh, Missouri's got a good football team. You know, they ended up, you know, in the Cotton Bowl against Ohio State, and they had a pretty solid showing there, despite how ugly that game was. That's no longer going to be the case this year. You know, no. You talked about it. I mean, teams are going to be aware of Missouri. They have a returning quarterback, Brady Cook. They got plenty of wide receivers that can make plays and take it to the house on any given moment as well. Luther Burden might be the best wide receiver in all of college football. No. Now you're looking at it in the sense that they're probably going to come into the season with around a top 10 ranking by their name. That number is not going to go away if you look at the beginning of that schedule. Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt. They're going to be walking in about week six against that A&M matchup with probably a top eight, top seven ranking close to their name because of how favorable that beginning schedule is. You get past A&M and all of a sudden it's all downhill moving forward. Again, Alabama's going to be the toughest game there. But like you said, I mean, you just don't, you know, it's not going to surprise you what Missouri does next year because we saw it a year ago. They went out and they added some really important pieces in the trenches as well. Caden Green, getting him from Oklahoma. I mean, yeah. OU fans were up in arms about that one for quite a while. That gives you an understanding of how much he meant to that program and how excited they were for the future of his career. So that's a big get for them. I'm pretty impressed by that. But going back to LSU, listen, you just lost the Heisman Trophy winner. You lose, you know, three very talented wide receivers. And are you sure that your defense is going to be any bit better than what it was a year ago? Because if you lose three
defensive linemen drafted too, three interior defensive linemen.
You lose three games with the Heisman Trophy winner and two first-round wide receivers, that defense is pretty bad. And yeah. I know that trench room is not looking the same it was a year ago. That's concerning to me. So I'm looking at that pretty much in the same lens that you are. I'm not sold on LSU at all at the moment. No. And I like Nussmeier. I think he's going to be a talented quarterback. I think I have him right outside my top five at number six or seven, but in the SEC. Regardless, that is a lot to ask for. And I do think that they're in for a little bit of even a regression from what we saw at 9-3 a year ago because of what Jaden Daniels had to shoulder.
Yeah, I agree. And then Ole Miss, before we get to what people really want to hear and talk about, which is Oklahoma and A&M, and we're going to end the show on the hardest schedule of all time, just to put it in perspective what Billy Napier's up against, by the way, because it's ridiculous. Ole Miss, Kentucky at home, at South Carolina, at LSU. We just talked about that. This is not the same LSU offense as a year ago. So Ole Miss can go in and score points against LSU. Is LSU going to be able to keep pace with this Ole Miss team? I think not. Then it's a week off, OU at Arkansas, Georgia at home, week off at UF, Mississippi State at home. Ole Miss put all their eggs in the portal basket because, one, they had a returning third-year starting quarterback, and they saw the schedule. And mm-hmm. Ole Miss, I think, has been as smart as anybody in college football in the offseason as saying, hold on, this thing's moving to a 12-team playoff. We have key teams at home. We have a schedule to get to the playoff. We have a quarterback and a coach to get it done that are on the same page in year three. If we address this offensive line and address the defensive front, which they did with Princely, Yemana Melian, and Walter Nolan, Ole Miss is a real sleeper this year to make the college football. And I'm not sure they're a sleeper, but I thought they've done a great job of putting themselves in position to make that playoff. All right, let's talk about A&M, CJ, before we get to OU, the two most hated. A&M gets college game day for Notre Dame. Congrats to you on that. Now you got to move the football. And then you have A&M has at Florida early in the season, Missouri and LSU at home, at Auburn and Texas at home. So initially, I think when you see the 8.5 number, you're like, that seems pretty high for Mike Elko's first year. But then when you look at the schedule, you're like, if their offensive line is okay this year and not terrible, they got a chance to hit that number because that's a very favorable schedule. And you know A&M's going to play good enough defense to keep them in all the games.
Yeah, I remember when these schedules came out, looking at A&M's schedule, thinking, where's Alabama? Where's Georgia? And then thinking, oh, yeah, Texas has played Georgia as many times as A&M has since they've joined the SEC. And just we'll just never see that game again, right, Jerry? So, that back half of the schedule, if you look at the month of November to me, if you're in that A&M, that territory to eclipse that win total, I think you get it. You know, you go to South Carolina and then you have an off week. You play New Mexico State, basically another off week. At Auburn, who knows how Auburn will look this year. And then Texas.
Tough place to play.
Yes, Jordan-Hare is a very tough place to play, but at the same time, you essentially have two, off weeks, bye weeks leading up to that game, and then you have Texas to wrap things up. So at the end of the day, I mean, you have three games leading up to Texas in which you probably aren't going to be playing your guys 80 to 100 snaps a game. And, of course, I know Auburn is a tough game, but that buildup looking ahead to Texas, it's going to ramp up, and it's going to ramp up pretty heavily because you have an off week, you have New Mexico State ahead of time, and now you have Auburn, which, again, who knows how Auburn will be looking this season with everything that's going on there. Will Peyton Thorne be the answer? Who knows? I know that they're going to be coaching and playing kind of desperately this year compared to how they have been in the past. But A&M, you have to like how this set up for you. And again, no Alabama, no Georgia. I mean, rejoice. That's a gift right there by the schedule makers.
Yeah. So, and then we move to Oklahoma. So for me with A&M, last point on A&M, if they split Notre Dame and Texas at home and they split Missouri and LSU at home, they're going to hit that number. That's my opinion on A&M. Elko has a chance to make a little bit of a statement. And he has a chance to make a statement right away. I don't think they're going to beat Notre Dame, but that's going to be probably Notre Dame's toughest game of the year because it's at A&M season opener. Mike Elko's first game, game day, is going to be there, and they're going to be fired up. Then maybe they'll celebrate the 1939 national championship team for the 80th time and make it even better. We'll see. Oklahoma football schedule this year. Temple, Houston, Tulane, the start. Good. They get to play Willie Fritz's guys twice, by the way, Houston and Tulane. Then you're Tennessee at home. Huge game for Oklahoma because then you go to Auburn. So your first two SEC games are tough. Tennessee, they're going to play on half the field offensively. That's good news for Brent Venables and his defensive scheme. Then you're at Auburn, tough place to play. So if Oklahoma splits those two games, they're off and running. If they lose both, season gets interesting for them because then they have an off week before Texas. Then you have South Carolina, at Ole Miss, Maine. I don't know what Maine looks like this year. At Missouri, off week, Alabama at home, at LSU. So that 7.5 is an interesting number for Oklahoma. To me, if they split Tennessee-Auburn, that's a good sign for Oklahoma with Jackson Arnold. If they split those two, I could see them getting to 8. And I don't want to underestimate Oklahoma because we're sitting here on Texas football. But first-year starting quarterback, first year in the SEC, Brent Venables third year in his scheme, but defensive line, Dominic Williams a big help for them because they were going to be two freshmen, two relying on freshmen, I think, on the interior. But CJ, still a tough schedule in year one in the SEC with a first-year starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting. Both Texas and Oklahoma have byes leading up to the Red River Shootout, so that's going to be a bit of a break, I would say, for both
weeks
schools.
Of smack talk, dude. That's awesome.
The buildup is going to be pretty tremendous, whereas last year Texas obviously falls in Dallas and then takes a week off before rebounding again. That sits with you a little bit. Now you have the buildup. It's going to be a little bit different. Oklahoma's schedule to me looks kind of like a checkerboard. You know, one week you're playing a top 10 team, the next you're off. And it kind of happens throughout the back half of that schedule. You look at it, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Maine, Missouri, bye week. And then Alabama to wrap things up. Oh, and then you have LSU back again. So that's a tough schedule to me. You know, you have a lot of top 15 caliber teams in that second half of the season. By then, do you have Jackson Arnold in a rhythm? Is that offensive line figured out? Do you have depth remaining on your defensive line? Because that's the big issue to me. Again, you mentioned Dominic Williams. That's a big win. Things would be looking a lot better if Jermaine Lole was still playing for Oklahoma next year. Texas actually probably hampered Oklahoma more so by taking him than they originally anticipated. The biggest question mark for me with Oklahoma is, do those edge rushers take the leap? We've talked about it. We expect Texas to have a good edge rushing room this year. Because of that, your secondary is going to be improved. That passing game will be improved. Oh, and you're more likely to create negative plays. That was the biggest question mark with Oklahoma a year ago. And by all accounts, that defense looked more like a Brent Venables defense, but those edge rushers did not take the leap that they were expecting. So if they can, and they have some talented guys in that room now, of course, then that Oklahoma defense looks a little bit more tough to me than, you know, what it should shape up to be at the moment. That's the big question mark to me. But again, that second half of the season, it's going to be a lot of looking ahead, you know, for what will be that next week coming up. Because again, that's four or five top 15 teams that they'll have to play on a back-to-back or, you know, kind of skipping a week in between. That's a really tough schedule in my eyes.
Yeah, so we're going to take on Kentucky before we get to our final team, Florida, because I just, you know, it's kind of going to be a funeral for the Gators here. So Kentucky, Georgia at home, at Ole Miss, at Florida, Auburn, at Tennessee, at Texas, and Louisville to end the year. What's interesting to me about Kentucky is they always play above what you think they are, and they're Mark Stoops. And I think he's done a tremendous job maximizing that program, and I think he's about maximized the program. There's two keys for me with Kentucky this year. One, last 2 years, the quarterback position was settled. Will Levis, obviously, was settled 2 years ago. Then they brought in Leary. That was settled last year. But getting Gavin Wimsett out of the portal was interesting to me. Because does that mean you're not sold on Vandergrift? Are you about to have a quarterback competition here in August? What does that say? So quarterback may not be as settled as it has been in the past. Now, the flip side of that, I think they did a very good job in the portal. They added two wide receivers, Macklin from North Texas, who could help the number one, Berrien Brown, be a solid number two receiver there. The running back, Tranium from Ohio State, I think is a tremendous fit in the Kentucky scheme. Dumas Johnson, the linebacker from Georgia, will be a draft pick playing behind Deion Walker. Key addition there. But here's a piece for Kentucky, CJ, that has my attention. Stoops had built up the Kentucky football fan base in his corner about as much as you could. Then he got on a plane and headed to the College Station. And they turned the plane, and A&M turned the plane around. What does he still have the same level of support this year? I think that's what's going to be interesting. You have a new basketball coach. So, hey, nobody – I mean, and Mark Stoops tried to leave. So, are they going to care as much? Are they going to have as much support in those home games? Because they built up a really nice program under Stoops. How much damage did he do?
Yeah, that's going to be huge because – I do think that program was pretty close to being maximized, and that's with two really talented quarterbacks. Of course, Devin Leary followed up Will Levis, both of which are in the NFL now. I know Devin Leary had a pretty solid year, maybe not to the expectations that they had originally, but that team is built on its toughness in the trenches, and then they go out and they added a piece from Tennessee, Gerald Mincy, 6'6", 330, to play tackle for them.
Yes.
They're adding back to what they had originally used to be or at least build that that Kentucky program. Now, to me, if you're Kentucky, are you able to sneak a game? Because you have a pretty tough schedule. You don't have the luxury of sitting back and, you know, playing A&M schedule for the most part. If you can sneak a game, things are off the table. I think then you get yourself running a little bit. But again, bringing on Wimsett, that quarterback spot to me, I don't know if that exudes as much confidence.
I don't think when Vandergrift transferred, he thought they'd bring in another starter.
No, and that's – I mean, you – I think Kentucky fans originally, when you bring in a former five-star consensus guy from Georgia, we've got our guy. We've got our third consecutive talented quarterback that can game manage, that can take it on your shoulders, whatever it is. And then you go out and you add another power five starter, and you're sitting there a little bit thinking – all right, maybe this isn't the guy. Maybe this is why, you know, he left Georgia so willy-nilly and didn't want to wait for Carson Beck to depart. Of course, Georgia goes out and adds Jaden Rashada out of Arizona State as well. So it makes sense now to question what kind of firepower they will have. Luckily, they have two very talented wide receivers. Barron Brown's a guy that will go day two in the NFL draft at the very least. And Jamori Macklin put up all sorts of big-time numbers at North Texas. So they're going to have two talented running backs or wide receivers, and their running game is still going to be talented enough to move the ball the way that they have under Stoops his entire tenure.
Before we close this out with the Florida Gators schedule, Florida fans, this read is actually for you. I want to thank Adam Lowy for being the sponsor of the state of the program. Florida fans, if your schedule has beaten you down before the season starts, you give Adam Lowy and the Lowy Law Firm a call. He gets results for his clients, whether it's a tragic car wreck or the 24 schedule for the Gators, an accident in the workplace, or any sort of serious catastrophic injury. Adam is who you want to call. Call Adam Lowy today at 512-280-0800 or reach him online at lowylawfirm.com for a free consultation, Gator fans. And remember, Adam focuses on results and he gets results. All right, CJ, I've been hyping this up for a long time, and I just want to take a couple of minutes here for that, the Gators eulogy. This is the toughest schedule of all time. And it actually got tougher after the portal, okay? So I just want to read this out for people because Florida does come to Austin, and they're going to be beat up by this time. They start the season, nine teams that are ranked in the top 25. Nine teams on their schedule. Now, will all nine of those guys be ranked when they play them? No. But right now, nine ranked teams on their schedule. They have Miami at home to open the season. If they lose that, it's going to get ugly. If Mario Cristobal goes in there and takes a knee at the correct time, then it's going to get ugly. Then they have Samford. There's your guaranteed win. Then you have A&M coming to town. Then you have at Mississippi State. So your home schedule's tough. Your gimme game, did you say, is a road game. You have a week off. Then you have UCF with KJ Jefferson. Then you're at Tennessee. Then you have Kentucky at home. Then you have a week off. Then you start November with the hardest schedule of all time. Georgia, obviously biggest cocktail party in Jacksonville. At Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, and at FSU. I mean, I don't even know what to tell Florida fans other than, good luck. I mean, that number is 5.5. If they hit six, they've had a pretty good year.
If
they beat Miami to start the year, maybe that number jumps to seven. But that is a brutal schedule when you're coaching for your job. Whoever did that did Billy Napier no favors. I know it's done years in advance.
No, 100%. And you look at that schedule and you think, okay, the non-conference should be your way to make a bowl game, right? Well, Samford might be your only guaranteed win with the way that UCF has worked the portal.
Over the last week
or so. They've added some really, really talented guys. Darius Tennyson out of Ole Miss, Goldie Lawrence out of Florida State, Nigelique Kelly, the big edge rusher out of Miami. They've got some guys now to compete with a Florida who got slaughtered out of the winter portal season as well. So you're looking at no more Princely Umanmielen, a day two draft pick from Florida, now at Ole Miss. But, man, that back half of the schedule, and this has kind of been a recurring theme that we've talked about, but my goodness, that is a week-to-week gauntlet that Texas, if you look at it from Texas's perspective, you're just another game for them. They're going to be beat up. They're going to be, you know, kind of thrown around a little bit. They don't have the effort to get up for that game because they know it's going to be the same case the next week after. So good luck to Florida. If they find six games and they find a bowl game this year,
They better not fire Billy Napier if he gets to a bowl game on this schedule.
Exactly.
I mean, their last seven games are all currently teams ranked in the top 25 preseason. Seven games in a row. I mean, think about going through this schedule that they're playing, and then you have to go to FSU for your rivalry game at the end of the year. The only hope for Florida in that game is DJ Uiagalelei, whatever, is not very good and has never been very good and wasn't even that good when he was highly ranked quarterback. So FSU is going to take a step back at quarterback this year, but they may be just about as good on defense. We'll see. But that is a brutal schedule. But for the Gators, I mean, I'm going to be watching, but got to beat Miami game one in Gainesville. If not, it's going to get ugly for Florida. So all right, that's been this week's state of the program. Thank you, CJ Vogel. Thank you, producer Matt Hutchinson. Texas 10.5. What are we thinking here? I'm at 10-2, so I guess I'm technically at the under. Georgia 10.5. I'm at 11-1, so I guess I'm technically at the over. I don't know who that loss is going to be. They're going to lose to either at Bama, at Ole Miss, or at Texas. That's 2-3 tough road games, returning quarterbacks, great play callers. Somebody's going to score 30-31 against them and beat them. But the Texas schedule, very favorable, CJ. Any closing thoughts there? I think Texas has a great first-year SEC schedule. I mean, I would rather have Texas schedule than Oklahoma's schedule in year one in the SEC. I know that.
Oh, without a doubt. This is a very favorable schedule for Texas, not quite Texas A&M's. But, again, to your point, first year in the SEC, you expect to play the big dogs week in, week out. You play six of the bottom seven teams, you know, including Oklahoma by its win total at the moment. So I think that is very favorable. If you get out of Ann Arbor with the victory, 11-1 is on the table, because I do think Georgia is a pretty tough team to beat, even at home with the way that they're looking right now. But I do think if you look at it in the favorable way that Texas has it, 11 wins isn't too far off the table. I have them probably right at that 10.5. You know, if Michigan wins that game, 10 is probably the ceiling. But other than that, 11-1, I think, is very doable if you're the Longhorns at the moment.
All right, and that's CJ Vogel. I'm Jerry Hamilton. Thank you for joining in. By the way, Texas fans, thank you for your continued support. Or 46,300, whatever. Thank you very much for the support on Texas football. We're the number two team site coverage site on all of YouTube. We're going to get up to that 100,000 number, and we're going to chase down the number one eventually. So, but we're by far the biggest in the Texas market. Thank you very much. And by the way, ontexasfootball.com. Go to ontexasfootball.com. Become an OTF OG member. Annual subscription, $20 off, only $39.95. We can't answer all your questions here. We also provide recruiting updates, a conversation on the ontexasfootball.com board. Again, thank you very much for your support as we continue to grow this thing. We're going to have a big party at 50,000. We're going to have a bigger party at 100,000. So thank you guys very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.